It's all here.
A no-hitter, grand slam.
Have all the fun you want.
Every moment, every game.
Make sure you guys tune in.
Catch the White Sox only on NBC Sports Chicago.
I think we've got one of the best five-man rotations in baseball right now, if not the best. And I know that's bold, but I think that we've shown that. And I don't think any time someone steps on the mound for us that it seems like, all right, we're going to have to battle today. I think we have the potential to dominate everybody we play.
That's Michael Kopech sharing what he has seen from the White Sox starting rotation, saying it's one of the best in baseball and quite possibly the best. And you know what? I agree. Hey, everyone, it's Chuck Arfine. Welcome to the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. So how good, how potentially great is this rotation? And is it a sign of things to come for the White Sox in October? Vinny Duber is going to join me to talk about the White Sox Fab Five. Or is it the White Sox Super Six with Kopech? And is it the best starting rotation in all of baseball? That and more on the way on this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With White Sox checking, you'll score a Sox debit card. Plus, you'll get a special offer when you open online today at Wintrust.com/SoxTalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left
field! Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
Okay, Vinny Duber, let's cut to the chase. Do the White Sox have the best starting rotation in baseball? I mean, we're going to go over a lot of stuff here in this podcast. I'm going to give you my thoughts, but where do you stand right now? White Sox, top five, top six, counting Michael Kopech. We'll get to that. What do you think?
I'll say this. I'll agree with the statistic, with the ERA statistic. They are the best starting pitcher rotation in the American League, for sure. I mean, I think, and really, Chuck, if you go all the way back to our preseason predictions podcast, I think it kind of lines up in a very similar way to what I said that day, which was, I think the White Sox have what it takes to win the pennant. I don't know, you know, if they could leap over those teams in the National League. Now there are even more of them if you include teams like the San Francisco Giants who have kind of come out of nowhere. Milwaukee Brewers been playing really well. So, but I mean, still, Dodgers and Padres, those are the two that I'm looking at as kind of the big kings of the mountain and the ones that I kind of expect to be there in the World Series. And do the White Sox stack up with those guys starting pitching-wise? I don't know if they are better. They are probably on par. But when it comes to the American League, the White Sox are the best.
Well, you know, when you say the White Sox have the number one ERA in the American League and they're a little behind the National League, well, those National League pitchers don't have to face a DH every day. Get a pitcher instead. So when they're close, like the White Sox are, to those National League teams, I put the White Sox starting rotation over the top just because of that.
And I'll say this. I mean, I wrote it after they won the series against Houston over the weekend, and I said – the White Sox are going to go as far as their starting rotation can carry them, because that's really what's happened to this point, right? I mean, that's what has gotten them to first place in the Central, to a healthy lead in the Central, to being among the World Series contenders in baseball. And judging by what we saw Lucas Giolito and Carlos Rodon do against the Astros, who might be the best hitting team in baseball, I think the White Sox starting rotation can carry them very, very far.
Yeah, and that's why I'm doing this podcast, because you had Giolito and Rodon combined to give up one run on four hits Giolito with a complete game. Rodon, 10 strikeouts, no walks, against the toughest team in the majors to strike out. So that's the edge. Now, the Astros rotation, it's good. It's really good, actually. Is it great? I don't feel like it's great. They got Greinke, who's 37. Who else they got here? Yeah, I'll look this up here. I have it written down. Got Lance McCullers Jr. looked great. Incredible on Friday.
He's having a great year.
Yeah. Then there's Luis Garcia, Framber Valdez, Jake Odorizzi. Yeah, okay. Okay. But when you're throwing out, you know, as your number four, well, actually, we should figure out who is number four. Who's the number one star right now for the White Sox?
Chuck, last month in Houston, I asked Ethan Katz, I go, who is going to start game one of a playoff series for you guys right now? And he says, I don't want to have to figure that out. I mean, it will be his job to figure it out, but that is not an envious task to try and figure out who's going to start game one or how these guys are going to line up, because you got four guys really. And that's no offense to Dylan Cease, who's been no slouch this year, but you got four guys really who could really kind of line up in any order. I know Dallas Keuchel has not probably pitched the way he wants to this season, but you could have said the same thing about Lucas Giolito, and then he goes out and does what he did on Saturday night.
Yeah, you're looking at something like Rodon, Lynn, Giolito, Cease, Kopech. There's not enough room.
You're booting Dallas Keuchel?
Are you booting Dallas Keuchel? Does Dallas Keuchel start come playoff time, assuming they make the playoffs?
I mean, I think the answer is absolutely. I mean, I know. What do you mean how? What do you mean how?
I mean
Michael Kopech is not a starting pitcher right now. He hasn't thrown more than one inning in a game for a while. And I mean, obviously it has to do with the injury and everything too. But listen, Michael Kopech's a great weapon to have, and we'll see, because the plan always has been that his role could evolve, right? I mean, we'll see what happens in September. Maybe this is realistic. Right now, I mean, I think Dallas Keuchel is absolutely in that top four, because you got to remember too, Dallas Keuchel's won the World Series. I mean, Dallas Keuchel has.
This is not about what he's done in the past. It's about.
No, but I'm just saying, I think White Sox fans have a tendency to look at last year's playoff game where he did not pitch as well as he did during the entire regular season. And they're looking at this year, which is obviously fair. That's what you're going on. But they get these guys for a reason, right? I mean, we always talk about when the veterans are acquired, oh man, these guys, they know how to win. They know how to win the World Series. They've done it. Certainly that is a point in Lance Lynn's favor, I think you would argue, right? So Dallas Keuchel has not been some sort of flop this year by any stretch. I think he just, you know, he hasn't been the 1.9 ERA guy that he was last year.
I'm just saying that come playoff time, and we will be, I'm sure, covering this in very, we'll be covering this in extreme fashion, because it's going to be a big story, assuming everyone stays healthy come playoff time. There's the X factor, which is Michael Kopech. How are they going to use him? If it's me, I'm finding a way to start him in a playoff game, because he's their, I don't say their most electric pitcher, but he's got insane stuff that if you want to win a playoff series, he might be best used as a starter. Maybe not going seven innings, but you're going to wipe out a team for five.
The good news is that already this season he's shown he can go four. Now we'll see if that lines up with the plans that they have. And certainly when you get to the playoffs, a lot of times teams don't really need their starters to go more than four, but the White Sox strength is their starting pitching as opposed to their relief pitching at the moment. We'll see what the trade deadline might bring. But I think at the moment you would want guys that can go out there and give you six and Dallas Keuchel can do that. I don't know if Michael Kopech today, certainly he can't today or won't today, but I don't know what that could change to come October.
Yeah, I mean, as we tape this, Kopech's thrown 36 innings. So I don't know what their magic number is, but that's going to evolve in the second half, and we'll see where he's at. But, you know, I want to go back to the conversation of who's got the best rotation. So you have Lynn and Rodon. They make the All-Star team. Giolito. So he went to Lake Tahoe during the All-Star break. And
fun.
Yeah, fun. Great choice. Him and his wife going to Lake Tahoe. And you know, he said he really wanted to come out with a vengeance in the second half. And the difference that I'm seeing is he's trying to throw, and now he's effectively throwing, at least against the Astros, a slider and a curveball that is just that. If you can do that, if he can do that, not all the time,
but who was becoming sort of a fastball changeup pitcher in his rough games. But if he's throwing a third and fourth pitch out there, that is what you can do if you're Lucas Giolito, is throw, not I'm going to say throw a complete game, but he can be that effective. That's the difference for him. And if he starts doing that in the second half, he's going to be the Giolito that we saw last year and the year before.
I mean, it's funny. You were talking about, forget the past. It's what have you done for me lately kind of thing. Very much seems, and for a good reason, in that Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon have been so terrific, but very much seems that White Sox fans were like, Lucas Giolito, he's done. What happened to him? He's gone. I mean, guys, this is the same guy who threw a no-hitter last year, who had that perfect game going in the playoffs last year. And certainly he would have been the first one to tell you his first half was not the way he wanted it to go. It was not up to his standards. He wants to be an ace. He's always wanted to be an ace of the staff, and he earned it with what he did the last 2 years. Now you got guys overshadowing him because of how good they've been. But don't forget, this is still Lucas Giolito, and he showed it against the best offense in baseball on Saturday night. There's nothing now. I mean, there wasn't for some folks already, but for some others, maybe they needed convincing. But there's nothing now after seeing him do what he did to Houston that says he can't be the guy you turn to in game one.
And here's what
in my opinion.
Yeah, all right. But here's what I like. Dylan Cease, who is technically your number four, number five starter. I mean, who knows? He had 10 strikeouts in 5 2/3 against the Astros, struck out five of them in a row: Brantley, Gurriel, Alvarez, Correa, and Tucker. How many number four, number five starters in baseball have the ability to do what Cease did? I don't think there's any.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that he's obviously the forgotten man, right? Because he's not as blown away, or he has not been as dominant as the rest of his rotation mates. And I think a lot of that has to do with, and you hear from Ethan Katz, you hear it from Tony La Russa, he's still developing. And I know people don't like to hear that when the team is trying to win the World Series, but we've seen for certain guys on this White Sox team, it takes a little while. And Dylan Cease has the stuff. There's no doubt about it. He just needs to turn it into a complete package. And he's in the process of doing that. I don't think anybody would say that this year hasn't been an improvement. I mean, from what he was last year, like if he was what he was last year right now, then yeah, be worried. Look for an alternative. He's not. He's drastically improved in terms of what the results have been. And I think that's only a positive. If that means it takes a little while for him to become Lynn, Rodon, Giolito. I mean, Rodon, we would never have included Rodon in that group before this season started, and now we are. So you can see how guys can flip the switch. I think they're thrilled with what Dylan Cease has done, and he was pretty good Friday. I mean, yeah. it was a blowout loss, but he was pretty good on Friday and gave you the confidence that if they need to call on him in some capacity come playoff time, you can count on him.
So I'm jumping ahead again. Say the White Sox face the Astros in the playoffs. I mean, I would say there's probably, a 25% chance they're facing either. I mean, there's going to be like four or five possible opponents, I think. For the most part, it's Astros, Red Sox, Rays, and then one other team, the A's, right?
Oakland, yeah.
So say it's the Astros. Rodon, 7 career starts against the Astros. He's 2-0 with a 1.55 ERA. Lynn's numbers, certainly last 7 starts at Minute Maid Park, are like he's got an ERA of 8. So maybe he gets bumped if it's not starting in Chicago. Giolito, great numbers against the Astros. So, and the other thing with Rodon. So I do so many post-game shows. I've done so many post-game shows over the last 10 years. And one guy who basically has me in a pool of tears over the last decade on that post-game show is Michael Brantley.
Because a pool of tears. Wow.
Okay. I'm being a little over-dramatic.
It's poetic, Chuck.
Poetic. A pool of tears. The man who has, maybe I should say it this way. One of the players who has given me a lot of angst, right up there with Nelson Cruz and Jose Ramirez, is Michael Brantley. He's 3-for-30 in his career against Carlos Rodon.
There you go.
He's Carlos the guy. Rodon. The only guy who can get Michael Brantley on the history of the White Sox franchise is Carlos Rodon.
2021 Carlos Rodon is a little different than prior to 2021 Carlos Rodon. So I don't know how valuable all these career splits are, Chuck, but the information is interesting at the very least.
Well, one thing Ozzy said on the postgame show the other day was that when it comes to deciding who's going to start in what order in the playoffs, you have to use your head and not your heart. For instance, he said in 1993, Jack McDowell was their ace, an incredible pitcher. They faced the Blue Jays in the ALCS, but he had terrible numbers against the Blue Jays. He wasn't pitching particularly well, but because they used their heart and they said, he's our ace, he's got to start game one, he got shelled and they end up losing the series. So, you know, who starts game one, game two? It's not going to be, well, Giolito's our number one. Well, what's the matchup? Who's pitching the best? And if Dallas Keuchel is not pitching like he was in the regular season last year, maybe he doesn't get a spot in the rotation. Who knows? I'm just saying you got to use your head, not your heart. And Tony La Russa, I think, will be doing that come playoff time.
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of the reason Tony was hired, is to win playoff games, win playoff series, win the World Series, right? That's a big part of the reason he was hired. I think you're right. I think you've got to be careful of getting too, you know, you can zoom in a little too far, right? I mean, you can say, oh, who did good in the last week here? Whose last start was the best one? And I don't, the good news with the White Sox, the way things are going currently, is there doesn't seem to be a lot of wrong answers, right? I mean, yeah. if you pick Lance Lynn for game one, everybody's going to go, okay, sounds good. If you pick Carlos Rodon, same. Lucas Giolito, probably a lot of the same, and you could make the reasons for it. You know, the good news is, I think they don't really have a lot of ways to, it's not like they're going to be like, all right, here we go. It's going to be bullpen day, game one, starting with Matt Foster. They're not going to go off the board that dramatically. They're going to stick with the guys that got them there, and the guys that got them there have been very, very good all year.
And watch, the best White Sox pitcher in the second half is going to be Dallas Keuchel.
You could be right.
It happened.
You could be right.
All right, let's start comparing other rotations. I got some numbers, or not, really not just numbers, just names that we can go over it. So I mentioned the Astros. I think their greatest competition for best rotation in baseball is the team they're facing this weekend, the Brewers. Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burnes all have ERAs in the twos. Their strikeouts, this is kind of funny. Like, if you're over 120 strikeouts right now, you are a great strikeout pitcher. Woodruff has 137 Ks, Peralta 135, Burnes 140, and only 16
all right.
walks.
It's all right.
Their three, yeah, he's 140 strikeouts and 16 walks. Their top three, right there with the White Sox, I'd actually give them a slight edge right now.
Yeah, certainly if you're just looking at the numbers, right? I mean, yeah. Because Giolito's numbers are not where Giolito's numbers have been the past couple of years yet. So I think, yeah, that's probably a good pick. But at the same time, you go by, you know, I don't want to say reputation because that kind of has a negative way going by reputation. But, you know, you go by what you're confident in a guy to be able to do. And I do think, as I said earlier, I do think Lucas belongs a little higher than his stats say that he is at the moment.
But here where the White Sox have an edge over them. Their number four starter is Adrian Hauser. He's got a 3.97 ERA. He goes four or five innings. He doesn't have like the lights out stuff. He's just kind of like a guy. No offense to Adrian Hauser and his family. And then they've got Brett Anderson and Eric Lauer, who are kind of going back and forth as their number five starter. There's no, you know, Kopech guy waiting in the wings. If I could handpick a World Series right now, White Sox Brewers. How about that?
Make for an easy commute, Chuck. Wouldn't have a lot of appeal outside of this region, but it would make for an easy commute. No doubt about it. Sure. I'm all for it. Yeah. I love the artist formerly known as Miller Park.
Yeah. By the way, the game on Sunday is not an NBC game. ESPN picked it up. It's now a Sunday night game.
Yes.
A bunch of us are considering going to the game as fans.
Chuck, you're making the drive?
Someone is probably me.
You take the Amtrak so you can have a little fun.
You can take an
up there
Amtrak.
At Miller Park.
Good times. I don't know. We'll talk about it. Meanwhile, you also have the Dodgers. So here's the thing with the Dodgers: Walker Buehler, stud. Julio Urias, stud. Clayton Kershaw, IL, elbow issue. He's not going to pitch again until August. Trevor Bauer, we know his story. Might not be back at all. You got Tony Gosselin, David Price. They're going to add at the trade deadline. I could see them trying to get like Jose Barrios, someone like that.
And they're the Dodgers. They're like the deepest organization in baseball history. They could, you know, what's happened to to Cleveland this year, where their entire rotation has been wiped out by injuries. The Dodgers seemingly could have that happen and still have one of the best rotations in baseball or any other position. That's just what the Dodgers seem to do.
It's not fair. It's not fair. So it's kind of an incomplete with them right now. I think the White Sox rotation is better than theirs because of they don't have Kershaw or Bauer. They're going to add someone big. At least they're going to try.
And they're going to add Kershaw.
Yeah, they're going to add Kershaw. But what's Kershaw? I mean, he's got his elbows hurting him.
That's fine, but he's also a future Hall of Famer.
Is he pitching like it? That's, you know, that's the question. So
I understand.
So I'm looking at all that. And yeah, the A's have a pretty good staff. I combed over the whole league. And I really feel the White Sox, as we stand here right now, are the best, most talented, and deepest. I mean, when I say deepest rotation, yeah, you could say the Dodgers are deep, but there's an unknown about how deep they really are. I just think this White Sox rotation is special. And I'd like to think that what happened in the Astros series is a preview of what's to come. Are they going to dominate like that in the playoffs? No, but I now believe that they can. I now believe it. They put up some great numbers against some crappy offenses, but you faced the best offense in baseball and two-year guys, really three-year guys, because Cease was just as good. I mean, the bullpen blew things after he left. But those three guys dominated the best offense in baseball. When I see that in July, I believe they can do special things in the playoffs. What do you think?
Yeah, it's why it was such a big deal. I think you saw a lot of people on Twitter comment that, you know, those were maybe their two biggest wins of the year. And I don't disagree. I think that that's a spot on comment because we saw what they did, what the Astros did to the White Sox in Houston. And it was a dismantling. And it raised those questions of can they beat other contenders? How can they compete with these guys? And you know what? The reason that was with the exception of Carlos Rodon, the starting pitching fell apart, right? I mean, Lance Lynn had a terrible game. Dallas Keuchel had a terrible game. I mean, those were guys that you're expecting to count on not performing against a team that you need to beat in order to win the World Series. So what this weekend was back on the South side was not only, you know, seeking a little vengeance for how things went down in Houston, but completely flipping that idea or at least providing an answer in a positive way that, yeah, can the White Sox beat other contenders? Well, yeah, they just did. They just did, and they beat them in convincing fashion at least two of the 3 days. So the thing that series gave, not to the White Sox because they had it already, but to people watching them and observing them was confidence that come October, when these other big teams are staring them in the face and the season's on the line, that they can go toe-to-toe.
Can I dream a little bit here on the podcast, Vinny? You mind?
My response has never stopped you from doing it before, Chuck.
If you said no, I'd say, well, I'm dreaming anyway.
Exactly.
Here's the dream. What we saw last weekend against the Astros is an ALDS or ALCS preview. But this weekend in Milwaukee, World Series preview. Bring Chuck, it on.
Chuck just wants that hour and a half drive. He just wants that
just
hour and a half
cool.
drive.
It's cool. That'd be awesome. A 94 I-94 World Series. I mean, I'll take going to LA. That'd be fun too. But there's something about like two teams like right next to each other. The White Sox and the Brewers used to be in the American League. They're not anymore. You don't really see these two teams who are so close play much at all. So I would, and you have these amazing rotations. These amazing rotations. I think the top two in baseball, I would love to see that.
They say in other sports, the defense wins championships. In baseball, pitching wins championships. So it would not be surprising, Chuck.
All right. I want to end with one other thing that has nothing to do with the starting rotations, but it has to do with just something that happened. And I think everyone get a kick out of this and shows where the White Sox are and where the Twins are. So while Carlos Rodon is just demolishing the Astros hitters on Sunday, I'm watching the monitor in the newsroom, and there's another monitor with the Twins game on. The Twins are playing the Tigers. And while Rodon is just crushing the Astros hitters, who's on the mound for the Minnesota Twins, this team that was supposed to compete with the White Sox for the division? It was none other than Juan Manaea. Juan Manaea.
He's back!
If there's anybody who symbolized the White Sox rebuild, It was Juan Manaea. He came up in 2016. He was released after the 2019 season. And now the Minnesota Twins are relying on Juan Manaea in their bullpen. It was quite symbolic to me. Wanted to share that.
Wow. Well, you know what, Chuck? I think the only thing I would say to that is Juan Manaea at least stuck around for multiple years. There's a lot of people from during the White Sox rebuild who did not get nearly that long, and perhaps they're a little more symbolic of the lean years, but certainly Juan Manaea was a consistent figure during those times.
The reason why I say he symbolized it, because he literally was there for the beginning and was there all the way till the end. He wasn't one of these, oh, let's plug him in and he's not there anymore. He was there the whole time. And White Sox fans had to live through it. Now, Juan Manaea, he's made some good money. He's had a good career. He's still in the game. He's 30. Good for him.
Wow, he's still pitching at the old age of 30.
He hasn't pitched for too many winning teams, that's for sure. So this White Sox rotation, that's a winning rotation. And we'll see what happens in the second half. But as we sit here right now, they are damn good. And it's so fun to watch. And dare I say, the best in baseball. That's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Thank you, Vinny Duber. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.
Did you know that 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the U.S. is imported from overseas? That's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com. When you buy Good Ranchers, not only are you getting amazing meat, but you're also supporting American farms. GoodRanchers.com safely delivers American craft beef, better than organic chicken, and more. Delivered quickly and safely to your door. Don't play the grocery store guessing game. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Go to GoodRanchers.com and use the code Chicago for $20 off and free express shipping.